Good morning. Welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It's your friend James Shaw, and I'm so thankful you make this part of your day. It's two masterminds in one. We've been doing it 5.5 years, more than 5.5 years now. And it's all about helping you grow and get better and make your business a little bit easier and find the right strategies to help and support you. And so thank you for making this part of your routine. And if it's your first time here, let us know in the chat because we always love welcoming new people. And if you've been here every day, thanks for coming back. You have lots of places you can get engaged, right? So you can join live, like most of you are doing right now on Zoom, jamesdshaw.com, and click join our free daily call. That's how you get on. You can watch the call inside the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group. You can watch it on my YouTube channel at James D. Shaw and on every major podcast platform. Now, usually by 10 o'clock Eastern, we have it flipped for you. So you can, again, go and listen, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music. You can ask your Alexa to play it. It's pretty cool. So anyway, thank you for being here. We're going to do two things today. First part is answering a question that you have asked inside the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group. And then the second part is something that's on my mind. We are back to the basics this week. So the second half of the call, we're getting back to a basic, which is a basic you're struggling with, and it's pricing listings. And it's a hot topic. We talk about it a lot on here, but I want to go basic on that. So we'll do that at the top of the hour in about 25 minutes. But first, I want to start with Sandra's question that she asked inside of the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group yesterday. She said, "I recently sold a home in a neighborhood where another agent lives and actively farms. Now, I'd like to leverage the sale, but also respect that other agent's presence. So would you market it or let it pass? And if you would market it, how would you approach it?" You know, this is coming. Now, real quick. This other agent's in her brokerage too, so she wants to be polite and kind. I get it. And she has a business to run. My answer was no agent owns a neighborhood. You go do your thing. But I'm curious about how you would handle these sorts of things. You sell a house in a neighborhood, you want to earn some opportunity. Other agents sell in there too. Let's talk some advice about this. Ira, we'll start with you. Good morning in New Jersey.
Good morning, everybody, and Shana Tova to all of my Jewish pivot friends. I actually have a neighborhood like that has a Keller Williams agent living in that neighborhood. She doesn't seem to be doing very much anymore, so I just exclude her address on all of my mailings and continue to door knock. I don't knock her door, but
Has she
I've done
stormed
a lot
over
of
to your
business there.
house and yelled at you and told you you're a horrible person, Ira?
None of that.
All right. Well, that's good. Happy Rosh Hashanah, by the way. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
being here this morning. I appreciate you. Lainey Lane, good morning.
Good morning in sunny South Florida. You're not an option until you're an option. And exactly that Ira said, that you take her out of it or him out of it and out of all of your marketing materials and just do your thing, but be as aggressive as you want, or don't be as aggressive as you want. But I would absolutely take her stuff or his stuff out of where I'm sending things and knocking.
But you're saying it's up to you. If you want to do it, go do it. Go knock, go send
Absolutely.
your poster, do
And
what.
that's the same with, I have a couple of farms and there's quite a few agents in there. Some work, some don't. You're not an option until you're an option. You know, they may have somebody in the neighborhood, but because they're getting my every other, like bi-weekly or twice a month, newsletter, they're getting my postcards, they're getting all my stuff. They may stick mine in the drawer. They talk to each other about selling. They open the drawer and there's my postcard. You're not an option until you're an option.
That's what I had to keep telling myself. See, after I got divorced in the 5 years that I was on eHarmony before I met Terry, matched with 1,500 women. Did y'all know I was matched with 1,500 women in the 5 years I was on eHarmony? And I just had to keep saying, I'm not an option until I'm an option.
You're a baller, James. You
I'm a
are a
shot
baller.
caller. Listen, then I met Terry, and hey, 15 years in October, y'all. 15 years. Lainey Lane, thank you for that. Back to Sandra's question. Where she sold a home in a neighborhood where another agent, excuse me, in her office lives and farms. She wants to leverage the sale. She doesn't want to step on toes. Help a girl out. Jolie, good morning.
Well, I mean, it would start with whatever kind of relationship she has with the agent to begin with. I have another agent who's a really good friend of mine that lives in my neighborhood. I've been the only one who's taken listings in our neighborhood. Would I feel bad if she did? No. I would support her just like she supports me. I just listed a house, put the sign up. She called me. She said, "Oh my God, great taking that listing." She goes, "I'm glad you got it because I don't want to work with that seller." So there was that. And then the other thing, when I first started in real estate, there was an agent who farmed in my neighborhood pretty heavily, and we had just bought a house in there. I just got my real estate license, and I had a mentor. And I said to him, "Well, she farms the neighborhood." And she actually didn't technically live there anymore. She had moved up and out to a bigger house. And he goes, "I have a secret for you." He goes, "Not everybody likes her." He didn't know for sure, but I mean, not everybody likes her. So, win the business, you're going to win.
I think one thing you brought up, going back to what you said in the beginning, that a professional agent is going to be happy for you too when you get a listing, and they're going to see an opportunity to possibly bring a buyer or work with you. They're not jealous. They recognize that there's a lot of opportunity out there, and you got some, and they get some, and it's just how it works. That's a professional who you worked with on that other side. So, Jolie, thank you. Carrie Dobo, good morning in the ATL.
Good morning. I am kind of in the middle of this right now, but just with the listing, I haven't sold it yet. But it is in Tony Nastri's neighborhood, and I'm in his downline, so that gets even more sticky. But I ran Lee Adjusts Play, and I do the letters to neighbors when the listing is coming, and I just left his road off. But he also has the mindset of if not him, then me. So we kind of. That's kind of how he approaches it, but he was also the first one in to see the house. So he,
See, that's good. And of course, he's on the call, which is great. And so he's probably very happy for you, knowing Tony. He's very happy for you to be able to have this opportunity. The fact that you're in his downline shows there could be an opportunity, still a financial win for him in some way, right? That might be able to support him. So, and he would never be jealous of you. Like, he is a great agent who would be happy for you, and he showed his support by being the first one in. And I think part of the lesson here is that sometimes we anticipate that there could be some sort of issue when usually there isn't. And if there is an issue, it's usually with the other person, not because of you, but because of them. I don't know. There might be a different perspective on his call today, too. And I'm always open to those, right? It's important that everyone feels like they can share their thoughts, and somebody may have a differing opinion on this, which is totally valid. And I'd love to hear it if you do. So, again, raise your hand if you have a thought about how to help Sandra out this morning, who's sold a home in a neighborhood where another agent in her brokerage lives and farms. She wants to leverage the sale, but also respect that other agent's presence. So, what would you do? Denise, good morning. You're up next.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Hey, we're great.
There are only 41 houses in my neighborhood in my little subdivision, and two others are realtors. Not in my brokerage, but that's pretty small circle to have two other realtors in. And so the first time I sent something out, I skipped the one of them. The other one hadn't moved in. So now I got from here. No, September 28th is Good Neighbor Day. And so I'm having a gathering at my house, a good neighbor gathering, and I went ahead and invited both of them because, we need to be good neighbors. And one of the things that occurred to me, or came to me when Jolie was talking, is why don't you do an open house in his house in your neighborhood, and then you get your own neighbors coming to see it too. So, but anyway, ours is going to be a doggy play day in my backyard, and just a good neighbors,
That's
meet your
so
neighbors.
nice. We should talk about what we should do for Good Neighbor Day. I'd start by just being a good neighbor. That'd be a good thing to start. But
So we
Denise,
invited.
three real estate agents in a neighborhood of 40 something homes.
Yes.
Sounds
And
cute.
everybody is over. Well, I'm one of the younger ones and I'm 68. So
There you
there
go.
you go.
68.
This is.
Tony, you have your hand up. You want to respond to Carrie Dobo this morning? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Absolutely want to respond. I'm sorry, I'm not ready for prime time. I'm not ready for to turn my camera on,
Yeah, you
but
look great, I'm sure.
thank you, thank you. I wanted to say I am thrilled for Carrie. And my attitude has always been, if not me, then I definitely want it to be someone in the office. And I definitely want it to be somebody in my downline even better. So yeah, I say go for it. Nobody's going to be right for everybody. So yeah, absolutely mark it. And personally, I don't mind getting other agents' materials. It lets me know what the competition is doing and sometimes gives me great ideas, but I can understand why somebody wouldn't want to mail to me also.
It's good stuff. See, Carrie, Tony's got your back. That's the kind of good agent he is. Thank you, Tony. Bree, you're up next. Good morning.
Good morning. So at first I didn't hear the part that she'd actually sold the listing, because I was going to say your first fiduciary obligation is to your seller.
Right. It's already sold. It's
yeah,
done.
Sold. Yeah. Okay. So I am of the mind that, you know, there's no one agent for a specific neighborhood either. And the culture of Keller Williams is that, like, if you look at this group of that we're here with as a community, there's several agents that represent several markets, that represent several market centers, and there's enough business for everyone. And we do that in a way of, you know, just someone may not be a good fit for someone else personality wise or whatever the case may be, but there's enough market share for everyone. And if you wanted to do it in a way that, you know, A, it's a conversation to have clarity around, like you said, James, a person may not even care either way. They just may be a Keller Williams agent and just, you know, hanging their license somewhere. But if there's opportunity to say, hey, you know, how's your business? And, you know, tag team with door knocking or bringing them into your world and doing those activities, and why not do that also? But I don't think it has to be like Mortal Kombat. Finish him!
I mean, I hope not. That would be a little aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I think about for what you just mentioned is that this call is one where we all come on actively and purposely share our ideas and our strategies with one another. But Bree, how many people from your market center that you're in Charlotte, North Carolina are on this call?
Just one, Byron.
Okay, so there's two of you that are on here regularly.
Yep.
That are getting the same ideas and the same strategies every single day. And then you two see each other at the water cooler, and you're not enemies. In fact, you continue the masterminding and the strategizing. And if Byron got a listing in your neighborhood, you'd hope he sells it, mm-hmm. and vice versa. And he'd door knock your neighborhood. You better watch out. Byron's going to come door knock your neighborhood. Better be careful. Finish him! Julie, you're up next. Now, everybody, you have to pay close attention, because as I like to remind you from time to time, Julie is in the Hall of Fame, the Team Leader Hall of Fame, which means that she knows what she's talking about. She is well engaged and knows what's going on. So don't listen to me. I'm not in the Team Leader Hall of Fame, but Julie is. So Julie, you're next. Good morning.
Thank you. Bree was talking about different people and different personalities. So I live in a neighborhood that a agent who has lived in the same neighborhood for 30 years. He farms it, so do I. And if you were going to look at his marketing materials and my marketing materials, they're completely different. What one person does is going to speak to a group of people. And yet what you do is going to be completely different. Just like Bree and Byron, right? Like their way that they do business, the plays that they run are completely different. So when you made your business plan, I'm sorry, I forgot who asked this question, but when you made your business plan, you said for listings, I do this, and this marketing. It wasn't this, and this marketing, except if this person has an agent in this neighborhood, or if this, then that. So you run your play, because that's how you set your business.
Nobody owns anybody. Nobody owns any neighborhood. Nobody owns any relationship. It's our job to maintain, and the consumer chooses who they work with. Like, it's possible that Sandra is going to go send all this stuff to everybody in the neighborhood and go knock on doors and talk to people, and they're all going to say, I would never use you. I'm going to use the other person. That's possible, but it's the consumer's decision. Julie, thank you. That's why she's in the Hall of Fame, y'all. HOF, right there. Kathleen Garden, good morning.
Hello. I'm so happy this morning because our Detroit...
The Lions won.
What a game. You know, this is a great topic because I just had this conversation. I live in a condo complex of about 400 units. We have like six realtors in here. And I always thought, oh my gosh, they're my competition. I got to know them. I talked to them to the pool or clubhouse events. And one of them doesn't even sell. He's a property manager, which I never knew that. So he actually said to me, hey, if I get anything, can I refer them to you? Because I just want to do my property management business. That was like my aha light bulbs went off. Like, stop your stinking thinking. Think bigger. Think collaboration. There's limitless business. And, you know, have the conversations. Be friends. And I love what Julie just said. We all have different personality, marketing, and, you know, just go do you.
I agree. Kathleen, you're smart. George Freelove is also very smart, and he is going to drop some wisdom on us right now. Good morning, George.
Good morning, James. You're so kind. The very first thing I would do is check the turn rate to make sure that it's worth marketing. And then if it is, then go for it. Nobody owns any community anywhere.
What kind of turnover rate are you looking for, George? I'm just curious.
I'm looking for 8 to 10%.
Annually?
Yes.
Otherwise, you say it's not worth investing in it as a farm. Just do whatever you'd normally do and move on.
Well, I mean, if I live there and there's something else and, you know, there's not a lot involved, but if there's not, you know, enough homes to turn, then, you know, there are other communities that are.
That's good advice. George, thank you. Appreciate you. Mignon, you're up next. By the way, sidebar, y'all. Mignon is hosting the Inspire Collective call today. The Inspire Collective is our membership community. We're meeting at noon Eastern. It's all about navigating a shifting market. Mignon is leading the way. She's got great strategies and tools for you. So Mignon, thank you. I'm excited to have you on Inspire today at noon Eastern. And I'm glad you've got a thought around this too. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm really excited about today. So for as far as other agents in the community, this, I mean, there's enough business for everybody. So think about it like the soda pop business. There's Coca-Cola, there's Pepsi, there's Fanta, and then there's people that don't even drink any kind of soda at all. I mean, there are beverages that are canned beverages that are just water, guys. Not everything is going to be for everybody, and we can wrap our head around the fact that everybody is looking for choice, and they're going to have a different kind of flavor. Then just present that to them. Be yourself. That's everybody else is taken. That was a great quote that I heard a long time ago. And just do you. Do you.
Yeah, we all get to pick and choose, which is going to be great. Mignon, you want to tell Inspire members a little bit about what they're going to get today at noon Eastern from you?
Absolutely. So right now we're in the shift, in the fire of the shift, and we're going to be talking about how to wrap your mind around getting through a shift. Because we are, I think of it like we're in irons in a fire, and we want to create a nice, beautiful sword that you can use to slice and cut through your business effectively and your personal life. So I think of this as, you know, we talk about KPIs and our metrics and all of the business numbers, the counting, the conversations. This is beyond that. And just to help us have a better mindset and in business and in life.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there and I appreciate you leading it. If you're not an Inspire member, I think you do miss out on probably the best value in the industry to help grow your business and give you the right systems and tools and mentorship that you need in a time like this. So if you want to check it out, jamesdshaw.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have 1,405 Inspire members. It's just unbelievable to see what's happened inside of that space. It started with 30 people, and the first rule of Inspire was like the first rule of Fight Club. And you just don't talk about it. But you all kept talking about it, and then people started joining, which is great. So I love it that we have so many wonderful people who are part of that community, and we will see many of you today at noon Eastern. Now, back to the question at hand. A couple of more minutes on this, and then we'll mix it up here at the top of the hour in about 7 minutes. And Sandra's on. So, Sandra, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts based on the feedback you've gotten both inside of Pivot and today on the call. But Sandra asked, she said, I recently sold a home in a neighborhood where another agent in my office lives and farms. I want to leverage the sale, but respect their presence. Would you market it or would you let it pass? And if you did market it, how would you approach it? So we've got time for a couple of more people. And then Sandra, I'll call on you to hear your takeaways. But Authorine, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Of course, I would market it. You've been invited to the table. Right? You've been invited to the table. You've taken your clear of your clients. Ultimately, you've gotten the results that they wanted to get. So yeah, I understand. Yeah, market it. Like everybody has said, you might choose to leave the agent's address off, but go ahead and market it because not everybody's going to do business with everybody else. I mean, if I don't get a listing in my neighborhood, I would wish that Brenda Chambers got it because she's in my office. But go ahead and run your business like a business.
That's great. Authorine, thank you. We're going to get these last three in, and then Sandra, I want to hear your thoughts, so be ready. It's Allison Brent, then Andrea, then Ellie. Allison Brent, good morning in Southern California.
Good morning. Yeah, the question, you know, if you reverse it around, how would you feel if someone sold a property next door to you and was doing it in your neighborhood? That's what's happened to us. We got our next door neighbor next door to us. And we happened to go on a a conference that we went to and came home, and all of a sudden the neighbor next door to us has a sign in his yard.
It's a year old. It still hasn't sold. So they just did not pick the right realtor, right?
But yeah, it just makes you go, oh my gosh, how could that happen?
Yeah, well, and they're off the Christmas card list. I'm sorry, but they're not getting cookies. They're not getting the pecans. They're not getting
pecans.
Yeah, they're not getting a Christmas card. You are not going to go, if they come to the house on Halloween, you're not answering. Like, it's just, that's how we're going to roll right now with that group. Please.
They get the little candy.
Turn them into the HOA for something. I'm just kidding, y'all. Andrea, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing?
I'm doing great.
I have a quick little story. So when I first got in the office, one of the agents that's been selling since Jesus walked the earth asked me to do an open house. I said yes. That open house turned into 5 transactions this year. One of them was his neighbor. He was absolutely elated. It was a hard transaction. He called me every day during the transaction to ask me how it was going. He helped me negotiate it. So I would just tell Sandra, what do they say? Collaboration over competition. Like, go talk to the agent. Like, why not? I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Neither is that agent everybody's cup of tea. And that's why they asked me to sell their home and not him. But it's enough out there for everybody. Don't be afraid. Dig deep. You're the one that sold the house to begin with. So why wouldn't you dig in and get into that neighborhood? There's no reason.
Done. Andrew, thank you. I always love your perspective.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Share more often. Ellie McIntyre, you get the last word. And then we're going to go to Sandra and hear her takeaways.
Got it. Okay. So it's all very well if you're going to send a postcard, but a postcard is like putting a stone in the ocean. Unless you plan to do it consistently over a period of time, then you're not making, it's not worth your money to do that, in my opinion. But if you commit to farming that on a regular basis, and like I've been doing mine since 2019, and I don't get them all, but I do get a good share of them. But every now and again, I get a postcard in the mail, and it's like, well, but you're not going to send me another postcard next week and next month and the month after that. So you got to commit to it. And like George said, as long as there's a turnover in there, then yes, spend your money on it.
That's good advice. We got great advice today for you, and I'm excited for everyone who shared. And so, Sandra, I want you to come off mute if you can. And thank you for asking the question about it. But what were some of the things that stood out to you, what you heard from everybody today?
Well, thank you, everyone, for all of your input. It's extremely valuable, and I appreciate the time that you took. My concern was because I have a relationship with this realtor, and he has been very helpful, so I wanted to be respectful of that. But thinking about it more after hearing all of your feedback, I realized that he would be right there cheering me on to go and get the business. So I think now that I have a different mindset, I will market the area and I will collaborate with him because I think he would be supportive.
Well, I'm proud of you. I'm glad you asked the question, first of all. So thank you for going into Pivot Shift Ahead and asking about it. And thanks to everyone who goes into the Facebook community and asks for it. And I think you heard multiple examples today of agents like we heard Carrie and Tony. They're in the same office and had an opportunity and he cheered her on. He was happy for her to be able to have it. So, Sandra, thanks for asking the question. And thank you to everybody who shared. Hey, everybody. Good morning. It is 7:59. Good to see you. It's your friend James Shaw, and I'm so thankful you're here and part of what we're doing inside of the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. Welcome to everybody who's joining us now inside the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group, or maybe you're watching this on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@JamesDShaw. I'm glad you're here. Hey, you missed the first half of the call, which was all about you take a listing, you sell it, you want to market to that neighborhood that you sold it, but another agent in your office lives in the neighborhood. What do you do? We had a great call about that. If you missed it, you can go into wherever you listen to podcasts, search Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind and download it. Do you know that our podcast listens? Listen to this. The percentage increase in people listening to the podcast in the last week, 3,800%. 3,800%. Now it's new, so I mean, it's the only thing we can do. Really, we've only been doing it a couple of weeks. But you know, we have people listening basically every country in Europe. Cheers to you. The Philippines, Indonesia, all of North America. People are listening to this. So thank you for being part of what we do. means the world. We're gonna have a great call today. It's Back to the Basics Week, where we're all about making sure that we're doing the basics right, because we tend to get away from them. We want to get creative, and as we get close to the finish line, we start to get cutesy-wootsy, and it messes us all up. And I want to go, the basics are never outdated. Just like it says in the Shift book, let's go back to them. And so yesterday was all about time blocking for your lead generation, just making sure you get it done. We had a great conversation around it. If you missed it, go back and listen to the podcast. Today, pricing with purpose, helping your sellers price correctly from the start so you can get it sold. That's what we're going to talk about. But before we do that, something good, Bree Vaughn. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, friend. I'm so proud of you and this community that you have built. So my something good is yesterday I closed on a listing that it came to me by way of the seller's ex-wife found me on Facebook somewhere and recommended me. It was an expired listing. It had been on the market twice for 6 months. Twice. And I got it listed, we got it under contract and sold for over asking. So just, you know, the things that we learn here, the strategies, they work. And I'm just excited for my seller that he can finally rest his head knowing that his home is sold and he can be on his way to next.
Learn the plays, run the plays. That's what we're about. We're about learning plays and running them. And you're right, the stuff on here works because we don't teach theory. We teach strategies that work. By the way, some of you have an opportunity to get in person to learn some strategies that work, to learn the plays and run the plays. I want to make sure you know about Boise, Idaho. I will be there on Thursday. So for our folks out in Boise, Thursday we're doing RISE, which is our real estate inspiration strategy and execution course. It's all content from 5.5 years of pivot calls about, you know, first, getting our mindset right. That's the inspiration. Second, what strategies work in today's market? And then third, how do you execute those strategies consistently in a way that brings you results? So that is in Boise, Idaho on Thursday, September the 25th. Then we're going to do it again in Champaign, Illinois. Champaign with my campaign. Champaign, Illinois on October 8th. So if you're in the Mid-American region, you're in Indy, you're in Chicago, you're Central Illinois, whatever, get to Champaign October 8th. We're doing RISE again. And then the next day, October the 9th, we'll be in Chicago. That's my kind of town. And we're doing something we're calling the 3L Intensive, Leads, Listings, and Leverage for Today's Market. And what we have done is interviewed elite agents in the Mid-American region, like the top of the top, to find out what's their lead gen strategy play that's working right now. And then they're going to do a panel, and then we have a playbook from each of them so you can get their download, their strategies, and implement them. And then we'll mastermind around them. And then we'll do, after we do leads, we'll do a panel on listings. You'll get the playbook, download their systems and tools, and then we'll mastermind around it. And then when that's done, we'll do a panel on leverage. You'll find out what they're doing, download the playbook, get their tools, and we'll mastermind around it. October 9th in Chicago. Details on all of these at jamesdshaw.com/events. jamesdshaw.com/events. I hope to see you there. All right, Jean Marie, give us something good. Good morning.
Thanks for modeling how to run a successful business and expand it. Who knew back in March of 2020, right? We just have to watch you and see how it's done in real life.
You're sweet.
Happy news from our side. We just welcomed a new baby into the family on Friday. So yeah, new baby, Julian Ramon Rodriguez is part of the family. Her first and our fourth. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks. Congratulations, Jean Marie, to you and your family. It's good stuff. Thanks. Carrie, you get the last one this morning. Good morning.
Good morning from Myrtle Beach. I am so thankful that you are coming to Myrtle Beach in November because normally I have to drive to see you, but you are 100% worth the drive. But I'm so thankful that you're actually coming to our office and I get to see you in person.
I'm excited to be there. November 19th, we're doing RISE in Myrtle Beach on November 19th. Next day, November 20th, we're doing a Shift one-day workshop in Charlotte. So yeah, there's a lot going on. And all those events you can get information on at jamesdshaw.com/events. Carrie, thank you so much. When I started this call 5.5 years ago, the whole point of it was to focus on our mindset and then focus on strategy. I'm a pretty tactical person. Like I always joke, I want to NKOTB it, right? I want to go step by step, new kids on the block. I want to know step by step, what do we do and how do we do it? And that's what we're focused on in this group. And that's what we're focused on in our Wednesday webinars. We're doing one with Lindsay Huss on Wednesday about her pre-listing process. It is a legit step-by-step. So I hope you'll join us on that. And today is tactical. because we're going back to the basics. It's all about that. And I want to talk about pricing, because pricing got weird for a while. 2022 and 2023, you went and met with the seller and they were like, do you think we can get X? And you were like, sure. And that was your whole pricing conversation. And now we've got a little bit more purposeful. I think the question we have to think about is the list price that your seller chooses and that you promote, is it a billboard or a barrier? Is it marketing the house and bringing people in, or is it making people run away from it? Is it something that's getting eyeballs that become feet, or is it just eyeballs? Because we want both. I think we have to be purposeful about it. In Shift, Gary teaches us that pricing is about strategy, not about value. That we're looking at what is the strategy we want to follow to get the most people in and create the most opportunity. It's not really about value. The buyers are going to determine the value, but the sellers are still in control. See, while buyers determine the market, the sellers have control over it because the seller is still the one that picks the price. And so I think we have to ask, what are we doing to make sure that sellers truly understand the market today? You know, we've got three options when it comes to pricing. We can price to win, price to compete, or price to sit. And which one, think of your listings, which ones of them are priced to win, which means they're getting offers, price to compete, so that at least they're getting looked at, or price to sit, nobody's interested in them. And are you walking through what that looks like with your seller? Now, one of our most popular Inspire Collective sessions we've ever had was April 15th. We had Aaron Simons, Emily Baker come on and talk about strategically pricing and how to get reductions, price right from the beginning, and get reductions when you need them. If you're an Inspire member and haven't participated in that call, please go do it. But I just want us to chat about getting back to the basics and pricing on purpose with purpose. Jenny Wallach, you're first in Tulsa. Good morning.
Well, good morning. I'm actually in Vail, Colorado at the Rocky Mountain Summit, which is awesome, by the way. But yeah, that was obviously a panel yesterday. It was about pricing correctly from the start. I get fired up about it because after all these years in the business and all the different markets I've been in, it should have never gone away that we help our clients from the start understand. And this is a time when not only we obviously don't tell them the price, we have a conversation to first just understand their needs, their motivations. Why are we sitting here today? Why am I sitting here today? What was it about me that got me here to talk with you? And then it's sharing the truths of today through storytelling. If you don't have a personal story yet about what it, you know, the pains of overpricing, then go find one from someone else because there's plenty of them to borrow. And it is a story that we have to tell. And then the strategy become behind it for me is the 3x3x3. This is the method I've always used. I print off, bring with me to share the MLS data, the pictures of their three active competitions that I believe is probably in the price range of where their home should be, and the three pendings that are similar and in the range that I believe they should probably be in, and then the recent closed. 6 months ago, too long. I'm even at a month or a couple at the most. And then you go through them one by one. How does this one compare to your home? They know their friends and neighbors. They know if one has more updates or a pool or nicer kitchen. And so they are in and invested. And then share with them, if you were a buyer today, which of these would you pick? Where would your home fit inside of this? And they have buy-in and commitment to that price so that it's a team effort and I'm not the bad guy if that was the wrong price. And then of course we share that the days on market will in the end hurt them. Even if they have a longer timeline, we still need to price it to sell faster because more days on market usually means a price adjustment, more concessions they're gonna have to pay. And it's a story. You're just storytelling with passion is what I believe.
And borrow the stories on here. We've heard them over and over again. If you don't have a story, borrow the ones you've heard on here. Jenny, great chair. Good to see you again. Have fun in Vail today.
Hi, I really thanks.
Maria Pettit, good morning.
Good morning from Cleveland, Ohio. Man, I get to follow Jenny Wallach. Oh, Jenny, I love it. It's exactly what I was going to say. I'm just going to add one quick thing that has been helping me with conversations with sellers is making sure the seller's not getting caught up on that price and saying this is a marketing price to drive interest, and making sure that they realize they're not negotiating with money they already have, right? Because that price now matters so much more than it ever has. And wherever we find, and again, following that strategy of bringing in the comparables, walking through it with them, like really listening to them. I feel like the gal that you're going to have on Wednesday is going to walk through that, where you're really listening to your seller and understanding their home and giving opinions and showing them the data, letting them realize like what they're up against, and then letting them decide too. But that price is a marketing price. It is a strategy. That is not where we're going to land. It's to drive interest. It has been helping me win listings. And I've never had more listings coming now with that conversation alone. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing. You're right. Lindsay's conversation that we're having on Wednesday will absolutely help all of you who are struggling with this. Her pre-list process is so good and really helps sellers see it. This is a free call we do every Wednesday. It's called our Wednesday webinar. We have found that Wednesdays are the best day to have a Wednesday webinar. So it's jamesdshaw.com/Wednesday webinar. Super simple. 2 o'clock Eastern, register for it. If you can't watch it live, we'll email you the recording when it's done. I'll put the link in the chat, but it's jamesdshaw.com/Wednesday webinar. It's free, open to everybody. And Maria, you're right, it will absolutely help you. Gary, you're up next as we talk about pricing. Good morning.
Thanks, James. I've shared this on here before, but it's just so good, I'll share it again because there's new people and people that might not have heard it. I got this from Liz Lindsay, a MAPS coach a number of years ago. And the idea is you're sitting with a seller discussing a price you're going to put the property on the market for. And there's a couple of options we have. One option is we put the property on the market. Buyer agents bring their qualified buyers to view the property. After they're done with the viewing, they walk out on the front steps, they lock the door. And the buyer says to the buyer agent, hey, what other property? This is a nice house, but what other properties are we going to look at today? And then they go off and they go look at some other properties. Compare that to another scenario where it's on the market. The buyer agent shows the property, they walk out on the front steps, lock the door, and the buyer says, oh my gosh, that's the best thing I've seen. That is great value. What do we have to do to make an offer? How do we structure our offer so that we could win this property? So what's the difference in the two scenarios? The first property scenario, it's on at a competitive price. It's competing with the other properties in the market, such that the buyer said, you know what, let's go look at this house. It looks like something we might be interested in. Second scenario, it's a compelling price. It's compelling the buyer to take action. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for action. We're looking for them to write an offer and be excited enough that they will do whatever they have to not lose the property. And in many cases, not every market, but many markets still, they're going to bid that price up. That's because right. The emotions have kicked in and they want that property. They don't want to lose it. So it's a golden script. I love it. I share it all the time.
It's really good. And by the way, that's something you can teach to a seller, right, Gary? We're teaching this to our sellers to help them figure out the price. See, sellers always want to leave room to negotiate. That's part of how they're picking the price. They go, well, we want to leave room to negotiate. And my question about that is, well, which way? Which way do you want? Do you want to leave room to negotiate down? Or leave room to negotiate up? Because if you price it in such a way, you can price it in such a way that so many people are interested that you're now negotiating the price up, not down. Let's price it so we negotiate up. Gary, thank you. Jean Marie, twice on a Tuesday. Good morning.
I know, I must be motivated. Here's going back to that Aaron Kaufman video. Everybody should watch that. For those of us that work in the seniors market, a lot of times we're dealing with multiple family members who are weighing in on price. That metric conversation takes all the emotion out of it. And you have to, as agents, we want to go in with what our strategy is. I think it's fair to say that yes, the seller picks the price, but we as realtors, we have a certain strategy that we know works. I think it's fair, my strategy is the auction effect. And I lead with that all the time. It's our job to educate, and especially when you have a lot of family members weighing in, they need hardcore education. And I pulled that out, the metrics conversation, and shared it in writing in an email to 5 siblings.
it worked magically. So I think we can't overstate how powerful that particular video is.
If you are an Inspire member, you need to go into the portal, you go to Weekly Mastermind Replays, and you find the April 15th call with Aaron Simons and Emily Baker. If you're not an Inspire member, you go to jamesdshaw.com and you click Join Inspire, and you go watch that call. That call is worth 10 years of your Inspire membership, because you get such good tactical advice about how to price right and how to strategically bring the price down when you need to. Thank you, Jean Marie. Appreciate you so much. All right, let's get as many as we can. We'll go Jessica Wright, then Cindy, then Jess Starr, then Anna Kruger. So go ahead, Jessica Wright. Good morning.
Good morning, James. Thank you. I'm finding in this market that I have to go in prepared with my price in my head. And then I strategically, if they don't meet me where I think we should be priced, then I spell it out right there on the listing agreement. If we're getting no showings, no offers, we do this. If we're getting showings, no offers, we do this. So I spell it out on the front end with them. So my price reductions are already placed. I don't have to go back. It's not a question or a guessing game. They know exactly what our next play is if they're not priced right on the front end. And I'm really nailing them on condition. If we need flooring, because new construction is heavy in our market right now, we have a ton of competition. So if we're not condition-based to their price, then I'm preparing them for that also. I'm reducing the price to drive it up. And I have a seller right now sitting, he priced it way over my price, and we've reduced all the way back down to the price I told them to list at. Well, and so now they're now they're chasing back down. So I think pre-planning my price reductions with them, if I know they're not priced right on the front end, and then really digging in on the condition of the property compared to the competition on the front end to get them down on price when we list, those two things are helping a ton.
It's really good. We got time for a couple more. We're going to get them in. Cindy, good morning.
Good morning. So one of the things that I never did before is I never brought my computer, and I do now because they like to compare their houses to other sales so I can show them the pictures and all of that. I also explained that days on market doesn't mean days on, DOM does not mean days on market. It means disastrous outcomes made. So that will in turn make them see the differences, and I like to show them when it's cumulative days on market as well. So we emphasizing mostly for the how long something is, and don't be the one that they're comparing to be the one that they go buy the other property by pricing it incorrectly the first time.
It's good advice. That's how you sell 400 homes a year. Jessica Starr, good morning.
Hey, just like Jess said before, the condition of the home is really crucial in staging as well. And I think a lot of people have forgotten that during the last 5 years. Yeah. We've always focused on that. So if people are rushing to go to the market because they have an urgency behind them, stress to them that putting a brake on might be really important so that they can position it correctly with the value of the home and the condition matching up. I also would say evaluate the market conditions, meaning how many properties have been coming on the market to know like, hey, we've had an X percentage of increase in inventory, therefore we should price it X percentage below the market. So really know your market in your town specifically, or the multiple towns that you service, so that you can say, hey, this is a strategy session. And when we talk about this, it's not just saying that the value of your home is worth X. We want to strategize to reposition you maybe even below the market so that we generate more interest because the market has been increasing so much faster.
That's good advice. We got time for one more. It's Anna Kruger. Good morning.
Good morning. I love what Jenny said about having them compare their houses. It kind of walks them into the price. Some data I picked up years ago that I just love. It's so good in the selling pricing conversation. But when you price a home just right, 60% of people will click on this online. And I got this from Keeping Current Matters. And I think it's not, 100% because the house isn't everybody's style. But when it's a good price for the market, 60% of people will click on it. When you price it over by 10%, it drops by half. It drops to 30% of people will click on that house. And if you overprice it by 15%, now only 10% of people will click on that house. And so it just, that kind of data can really help people see the danger of overpricing a house. And I love that disastrous outcome. That was really great. So there's some data if that helps you in your listing appointments.
It's all good. Hey, this call was great. Thank you for everybody for being on it and sharing. It's maybe one to go back and re-listen to. It's one to share with people inside of your office who are struggling with price. You know, again, I don't think that we I think that we need to get reminders from time to time. It's not about learning new strategies. It's about getting reminders sometimes. And this week is all about reminders, things you know, but let's get back to the basics. Because if you're frustrated or disappointed around where things are, and you've got some sort of like, ugh, it's probably a basic that needs adjusting, not something fancy. All right, that's it. We're out of time. Inspire members, we will see you at noon Eastern. Mignon is helping us with navigating the shift. Everybody else, we're back and better than ever tomorrow. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration. See ya. Bye, everybody.